हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। इट्स ऑन, यू मे हैव टू टर्न दैट नॉब्स देयर। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम राम हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, राम राम हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Do you want to sing again?
Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna
Hare Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare
Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Nama Om Shupadaya Krishna Prasaya Budhari Srimade Bhaktivedanta Swami Nidinamine Namaste Saraswadevi Gauravani Prajarine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshadarine Vaja Shri Krishna Jaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrunda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So, you may be wondering why I'm not start discussing second chapter yet. We have start come for that, isn't it? There is a reason. Reason is this. Before understanding the second chapter, We have to know what the problem is. Second chapter is the solution. Krishna gives us through the second chapter the solution to the problem. But before we know the solution, we have to know what the problem is, isn't it? So the problem is the first chapter. First chapter is the problem. The second chapter is the solution. That is how that relationship between first and second. If you remember, the first chapter is called the Arjuna Vishada Yogam, isn't it? So unless we identify clearly what the problem Arjuna had, what problem Dhritarashtra had, we won't understand when Krishna starts telling us the solution. You may think, oh, Krishna is saying so many things, maybe it's all spiritual, I don't have anything to do with it. We may withdraw from the whole thing. So in order not to happen, we should very clearly understand what the problem is. What Arjuna had the problem, what Dhritarashtra had the problem. And through this first chapter, what Krishna is, Vaidyavyasa Maharshi is doing is to make us conscious of the gravity of the problem, which we haven't recognized yet, what that problem is. Isn't it? We are just thinking that, Dhritarashtra doesn't want to be a spiritual life, and we are used to seeing things like this, spiritual and material, in two ways, isn't it? What we have to recognize is that spiritual life is the truth, material life is false. This conviction has to come inside first. If we don't get convinced on this, there's no point in going to the second chapter. And what is that falsity in material life? Material life falsity is this, that jadam, the dead matter, we are thinking that that is real. This is the problem, beginning of the problem. The dead matter in what is this whole creation itself is the dead matter. To think that the dead matter is real is the first falsity in us. And after thinking like that, jadam is the dead matter. And chetana is the living one. Chetana and jadam, the two opposing things. Yeah. So chetana is the living force and jadam is the dead matter. To think the dead matter is the truth, or to think that the dead matter is real, is the first falsity in us. And this was the same problem what Dhritarashtra had. Arjuna also had. But the difference between Arjuna and Dhritarashtra is, Dhritarashtra will not recognize this problem under any circumstances. He kept on pushing this same thing again and again, thinking that my family, my children, my this, my that. That is why when Bhagavad Gita begins, Vedavyas threw there one arrow at Dhritarashtra straight away. What is that? If you look at the first verse, you will see, Dharma Kshetre, Kuru Kshetre, Samaveda, Yutsava, Mamaka, that word Mamaka. Dhritarashtra Vacha, it begins like that, isn't it? Bhagavad Gita begins with Dhritarashtra Vacha. Dhritarashtra is saying, Dharma Kshetram is Kurukshetram. That Kurukshetram, when all the soldiers assembled there, what happened, he is asking. But there, he used the word Mamaka. Mamaka means my people. Mine. That is Kauravas. And Pandu's children. When it came to Pandu, it is somebody else, but the other one is mine. So that strong grip on the matter, that strong grip on mine, has not left Dhritarashtra. That's why in the first verse itself, Dhritarashtra Vacha, Vedavyas put that word Mamaka. Dharma Kshetre, Kuru Kshetre, Samaveda, Yutsava. Yutsava means preparing to fight, Mamaka, my people, and Pandava. Pandava Sheva, Kimakuruvada, Sanjaya. Sanjaya, what did they do? So, in that verse, it's indicating to us that Dhritarashtra had this difficulty in him. He could not get out of it. Some people are like that. Have you noticed that in this world? An attachment is so strong and they will, under no circumstances, they are not willing to give it up. If it gets that strong, there is no remedy for it. There is no remedy for it. That this is what Bhagavad Gita is telling us, that this grip on material life and matter, if it gets stronger and stronger, and thinking that jadam, dead matter, is real, then spiritual life is not possible. And this was the problem Dhritarashtra had. First thing to think that jadam, chetana, and then what happens after accepting everything is dead matter in this world? And if you start thinking all this is real, what happens is, some things you want, some things you don't want. Once this thought comes in, the mind starts Dvaita Chalanam, it is called. Dvaita Chalanam means, in this duality, mind gets disturbed by that. This is why our mind is not getting peaceful. When you start accepting everything as real in this world, and when you start accepting things and rejecting things, that is a child movement of the mind inside. Mind starts wavering there. Something you like, something you don't like. Strictly speaking, none of these things you can like it, because nothing is permanent, nothing is real here. Everything is false. Krishna's creation is like that. So, jadam or dead matter is not real. This is what Vedavyas is telling us. So, anyone who is attached to jadam, dead matter, like Dhritarashtra, there is not much hope of recovery. Much hope of recovery. And unless he makes that step in himself, that this is what I want to change within me. I've gone in the wrong direction, I have to change myself. This decision he has to make. Unless he makes it, Krishna says, I can't do anything about it. Arjuna, on the other hand, both of them had vishadam, isn't it? Distress in them. Dhritarashtra's distress has turned into rogam, or into a very distressful condition. But Arjuna's vishadam has turned into yogam. So Arjuna became a yogi and Dhritarashtra became a rogi, in other words. Otherwise, how can be that after so many people coming and telling him that what he is doing is not the right thing, still he is able to hold on to that, unable to give it up. And in the Mahabharatam, there is a verse about this. He says there, Janami dharmam najame pravrti. Janami adharmam najame nivrti. He says, there are people like this who will keep on saying this. What can I do? I am not able to do anything about it. Dhritarashtra's attitude was like that. Janami adharmam. I know it is irreligious what I am doing. I am not doing the right thing, but I am not able to come out of it. They'll answer like this. And then they will say, Janami adharmam najame nivrti. He says, Janami dharmam najame pravrti. I know what is dharmam, but I am not able to do anything about it. People like that, when they come with that attitude in spiritual life, Krishna is saying, there's nothing we can do about them. So the first thing in spiritual life is this, to make that decision within oneself, that some basic understanding within oneself, that this dead matter, to accept these words from Vedavyas, that this creation is nothing but a dead matter, in which when Krishna enters and he starts functioning, it becomes starts moving. But you start giving importance to this world and start thinking that this is the real thing, this is everything, and start living like that, then spiritual life is not possible. That's the first point. Secondly, what has happened to Dhritarashtra was, when you get distressed, and if you start identifying with it all the time, once the identification starts, it becomes a very big problem. Because this identification with the matter is a disease, actually. Identification with the matter is a disease. Basically, it is only because there is no knowledge inside. If you look into the life history of all the great jnanis, yogis, devotees, acharyas, everyone, from the very first instance, they will free themselves from the bodily identity. First thing, they will talk in that way. They'll act in that way. Bodily identity, no, it has no importance. Any acharya, if you take, that's how they lived in this world. Because bodily identity is false, and matter is false. It is not a real thing. So if we accept all this as reality, we are bound to suffer. So that identity must go. And who has to make that decision? The jiva has to make that decision. The conditioned soul has to make that decision within himself that I'm not going to identify with matter anymore, and this matter is a temporary thing. It is not a permanent thing. And if ever you hold on to anything that is temporary, you are inviting trouble. That is the reality. Anything that is temporary in this world, creation, if you hold on to that, you will experience distress at some point or the other. That's a well-known fact. That's why they're always saying to us, the sages, that body is temporary. the so-called relatives, friends, society, that's all temporary. That will all go. Unless you come, withdraw yourself from these things, and at least within inside, if not outside. Outside you may have to do for vyavharam, we call it. Vyavharam means for transaction reasons we have to show to relatives and friends, yes, yes, we are with you. But inside you have to withdraw from them. If you keep on getting involved in this day by day more and more, eventually it's all going to bring a lot of distress. And distress means what? Ajnanam. Ajnanam means avidya. Avidya's tendency is like that, pull you into this ignorant dealings in this world. So Krishna says here that even Ishvara, the Supreme Controller, if he wants, even he can't help him. Because the jiva has to make that first step to understand this and accept it within himself, that this is temporary, matter is temporary. So it is for this reason that Krishna said in the 6th chapter, you remember that verse? Udhared Atman Atmanam. That Udhared Atman Atmanam means you have to make that decision. You have to take the initiative to come out of this ignorance first. Krishna is not going to do that for us. Udhared Atman Atmanam na Atmanam avasadayal. Atmanye Atmano bandhu Atmaivaribu Atmana. Krishna says like this. So, and Krishna is very straightforward on that. He's saying, if this sankalpam, if this resolve is not within you, then there is no point in talking about all other sadhanas and jnanam and bhakti and yogam and everything. If this resolve is not there inside. We are all used to this, somebody feeding us every time, and we keep on taking it like this without responding to it. But that's not a good situation. Udhared Atman Atmanam is meant for this, that somehow or the other you should put the effort to lift yourself up from this ignorant state. That I have accepted matter as permanent, and because of that I am suffering. And that discrimination is a must in the spiritual life to begin with. So, Udhared Atman Atmanam, Atmanam, what the word says is, Ishwaranebi Vimuktam Na Sakhyade. He says, even Krishna wants, he cannot get you liberated from that. If you take this attitude to spiritual life, that matter is permanent, everything is real in this world, and with the matter, I want to get myself liberated. That's not possible. What we are trying is to get freedom from this matter, material entanglement, that is matter, isn't it? Attachment to matter, inside. The mind is a matter. Senses, matter. Body, matter. Intelligence also, matter. Everything is matter. And from this, caught up in this big shackle we are in, and we want to come out of it. But we can't do this thing if we keep on holding on to it very strongly. There's no freedom from that. So freedom from the mind, freedom from the senses, freedom from the intelligence, freedom from the body, that is real freedom. Because this freedom is different than the freedom what we talk about in the other world, in the external world. When we say freedom, it is something different, that freedom. But this freedom is freedom from all these upadhis, one after the other, what we have taken. So, everyone who has gone in this path of spiritual life, you will see they have made this first decision. This is the first thing they made, this decision. That I want to find out the truth. I know that I don't have the truth right now at the moment with me, but I want to find out the truth. And for that, search for the truth begins like this. So, take for example Buddha, Lord Buddha. Buddha also, in fact, strictly speaking, Buddhist philosophy and Vedic philosophy, the difference is not a lot. Buddha is incarnation of Vishnu. Krishna's incarnation is Buddha. Only at that particular time he came and preached Buddhism, which is little different from the Vedic understanding. He did not take Vedas seriously. He kept Vedas out of the picture and he preached Buddhism. But Buddha's pursuit for spiritual life is very much the same, like in everywhere else. When Buddha started his spiritual truth, when he found out that everything is temporary, as I mentioned before, that he found that there is death in this world, there is disease in this world, there is old age in this world, Buddha said, I don't want to be a part of this. This doesn't seem to be going to give me any happiness. Yeah. So, where there is birth, there is death, what happiness can you have? Because everyone who is with you is leaving you one day. So where is the question of happiness? Then he said, where is the question of happiness when your body is getting ill all the time? Then he also noticed that people are getting old, and old age means misery. So even that day he didn't want it. So he was looking for a real freedom from all these things. So therefore Buddha says there that this does not make me happy. So he started the inquiry. So when he started the inquiry, initially he took to a lot of austerities and all that. You will notice in Buddha's life, if you read, that he took a lot of austerities. Sometimes he went with the yogis. There's a kind of yogis called Akhoris. Probably you may have heard about them, Akhoris. You'll see them in Kumbh Mela and all that. Very, very extreme austerities they perform. They come in Kumbh Mela often. And Akhoris, what they do, they subject their, torture their body considerably, to a very large degree, they torture their body. Not allow to accept any kind of bodily pleasures. No clothes, proper clothes even. And they walk around as naked sannyasis, completely covered in ashes and everything. And why do they do that? Because they want to free, in a forceful way, they're trying to get out of the bodily attachment to the body. So they do that. Buddha went with those people for some time. Sometimes he ate this cow dung as food in order to not allow the tongue to surrender to good food. But Krishna doesn't say these things. Buddha realized that later on. Buddha realized those things later. And Krishna also doesn't say this kind of austerities. What Krishna is talking about is that is no point in trying to push the body like that, to such kind of austerities. That won't bring the truth unto you. What will bring the truth is knowledge. Knowledge is that will remove the ignorance. Opposite to ignorance is knowledge, isn't it? So, continuously torturing the body with severe, extreme penances and austerities is not the solution. So, but later on Buddha came to this understanding afterwards. He gave up that kind of austerities and he entered into meditation, and there he got the truth realization later. And if you look at Buddha's words at that time, it's not much different than what Krishna has spoken. In the second chapter you will see, Krishna is saying, Sthita Prajnasya Ka Bhasha. You will come this, all the time, this few words. Sthita Prajnasya Ka Bhasha. One who has become Sthita Prajna, whose intelligence is settled and who is steady, whose mind is not wavering anymore, how does he act? How does he speak? How does he live in this world? Arjuna asked these questions to Krishna, isn't it? Sthita Prajna Sega Bhasha Samadhistase Keshava. Arjuna says to Krishna, how do they act in this world? And Sthita Prajnatvam is what that word used there in the Bhagavad Gita for that state of consciousness where one's mind does not waver anymore. I told you the reason for that wavering is this. That to accept that the world is real, to think that everything in this world is permanent, and to want to possess this world. We want to possess this world. All of us, when we come to this world, the very entry into this world is holding like this, the hand, isn't it? You look at the babies, how they hold the hand like this. They hold it. That means I want to have it. The karma vasana inside is so strong. That when I come into this world from the mother's womb, the hands we don't keep like this. That I want to have everything. Why? Inside karma vasana is so strong. I want to have everything. We come here, we want to possess everything. And that then the work starts. Behind that is the karma pushing you. Go on working. Whole life working. So there are some people like that. If they are not making money, they don't get sleep at night. They have to be making money all the time. They should be making money. Even if they know that 75 years, 70, 80 years, they know body has got all sorts of problems. Any moment the body will go. But if they're not making money, they're not happy. They should be making money all the time. Otherwise they think, I should be making money. This is the answer they have for everything. So those people who have fallen into that trap, it's very difficult to help them. Because it's become a disease now. You can't do anything about it. Money has its value, but money is not the driving force in this life, isn't it? Money, what can money do? How much money can help? You need something to eat, you need some place to sleep, and minimum needs like that. But apart from that, if money becomes the whole objective in life, then spiritual life will not happen to that person. That's why jnanis insist on these kind of things, that the vairagyam is the first requirement for understanding these things. So there's an interesting story about that. When Alexander came for invasion, you heard about Alexander, haven't you? Alexander is well known. He's a Alexander wanted to invade the whole world and to bring the whole world under his control. You heard about that. Alexander the Great, they call him, isn't it? Because of this. Who was Alexander's guru? Aristotle. Aristotle was his guru. So when Alexander came, he started invading country after country and he reached Bharatavarsham. When he got there, Aristotle had told him that there are many jnanis and yogis in India. So when you come back, you bring some of them with you. He has told him like that, to bring some of these jnanis and yogis from India back to Greece. So he was, and he saw in many, many places, those days you can remember, Alexander's time, you're talking about thousands of years old before, that there were many people who were great yogis and jnanis in Bharatavarsham. They used to just sit there. They won't do anything. They would just sit there. And because the realization is very high inside, they won't get absorbed in all these people who want to fight. They used to think of these all these fools who are fighting for this world, to control this world, as simply as fools. So Alexander, in his journey through India, he came to a place near Allahabad, and that's close to Benares. When he came there, he saw one yogi sitting there underneath a tree, completely transcendental, not affected by anything. He was not looking for food, not looking for, but totally satisfied, peacefully sitting underneath this tree. So he remembered Aristotle's words and he thought that maybe this person should come back with us, take him with us. He said, so these kings and these rich people, they have this one problem. They think everything they can buy with money, isn't it? So Aristotle, Alexander goes to him and he was respectful to him, because he knew he wanted to bring him along, that he told him, can I do anything for you? You know, in a very submissive mood to serve him. He said, so the yogi looked at him and said, what can you do for me? He says to him. He said, no, that you are sitting here, you don't seem to have very much to maintain your body, and you seems to be in struggling, because his stomach was all gone in. There was no food, nothing properly eating. And because of his yogic penances, he has become very slim. Alexander wanted to feed him nicely and clothe him nicely and make him feel happy. This was Alexander's mood. So he says to him, you can do me one thing, he said. If you can just move away from there a little bit, this side, so that sunlight can come to me directly. This was the word from the yogi to Alexander. Instead of standing right in front of me and blocking the sunlight coming to me, if you can just move away from that, that's all you have to do for me, he says to Alexander. So Alexander thought, these people are very difficult to do anything with them. It's not so simple as you think about them. Because why? No desires inside. If you have no desires, then what do you have to care for? Whom do you have to report to? Because there is desires inside, karma vasana is inside so strongly, and you want to control the whole world, bring everything under your control, and wants to become rich, wants to become a controller, and wants to become fame, wants to have fame, wants to have followers, this and everything, then you have all these problems. So anyway, Alexander went back, and then he decided he will send his minister to get him. So he sent his minister to him, and asked him, can you talk to him and tell him to that the king wants to see him. So the minister goes there. Minister knew that Alexander has met this person and he hasn't agreed to come. So minister was in a mood to use force to bring him over. So minister goes to him and says to him that the king wants to see you, he said. So the yogi says to him, who is this king, he says. I have never had any king in my life, he says. So the minister says to him that, you know that we are all following this Alexander the Great, who has come from Greece. He has conquered all the land right up to Bharatavarsham by now. Right, starting from Greece right up to India, he has conquered all the land by now. So the yogi says to him that if he thinks he has conquered it, he must be the biggest fool. he says. He must be the biggest fool if he has conquered it. And I don't need to see anybody anywhere. If he wants to see me, he can come and see me. But I don't have time, he says. This man is telling him, I don't have time to come. Very blunt and straightforward. So minister understood the problem. When minister went back and said this to Alexander, Alexander started realizing how a fool I am. He started himself realizing. That's why after he lost the war, the last war with in Punjab, he was on his way back. And by now, all the land he has conquered, he has lost it all. Because nothing you could do about it. And he says there, while I am dead and gone from this world, the only thing you have to do for me is, please keep my hand open like this. Don't keep it closed, he says. Here is a man who has come to conquer the world and is going back from this world with open-handed like this. Without anything in the hand. He couldn't carry with him nothing. This is the fate of everybody in this world. When we come, karma vasana is inside so strongly, we engage in karma day after day after day to acquire things, and we want this, we want that, and desires, endless desires. Accordingly, it pushes us to keep on working whole life, and eventually you realize it that it was all a waste of time at the end. This is the realization most of the people have. Even very, very rich people, if you see, when they leave this world, they live in distress. They live in distress because there's nothing there for them to because inside is all empty. Inside is empty. It's only these possessions they worked whole life to accumulate everything one after the other. So this is why when they start telling that, this is not the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita's philosophy is to pull us out from this mentality and to bring us to some senses, to think what is the truth. And the truth is this, that jadam, dead matter, is temporary and it is false. One cannot give importance to it. But into this illusion we fall into that I have to execute, I have to do this, I have to do that, and I have to build, I have to construct, I have to have this, I have to have that. Endless desires following one after the other, and whole life is wasted in that process. Even after coming to spiritual life, this doesn't leave you. Still you are thinking, oh, I have to build this temple, I have to build that, I have to build something, and it's all going to be there forever. Nothing is going, you will be gone. They may not be there. Many instances what we have seen in your own life, you also if you observe, many of the spiritual leaders, when they come and establish a center, or establish a temple, or anything like that, very soon the whole thing goes. Very soon, in a matter of 10, 20 years, everything goes. The very purpose for which he has struggled very hard and taken heavy risks to establish Krishna consciousness in the minds of the people. And what has happened? All the so-called properties has gone. They are taken over by people with different ideas and different thinking. And everything is lost. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati mentioned this. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada's life is also not much different than what has happened. So the spiritual goal goes. And then it becomes simply an institution. Just there, as the namesake, it stays there. In bricks and mortar, it stays there. Nothing else. Nothing else happens after that. So, Bhagavad Gita is not for success. That's the first thing, for material success. That's the first thing to know. It's not for all these kind of things. Bhagavad Gita is a message for the soul. And those who are interested on the spiritual platform will get benefited from this message. In fact, if you look at Krishna's life, would you say it was success? Nobody could say Krishna's life was a success. Because Bhagavad Gita was spoken, if it was spoken for success in this world. Take for example, the day Krishna was born, he started the journey, didn't he? The first day itself, the journey started. From the prison house to Gokulam. And from Gokulam, didn't last very long, from there journey to Vrindavan. And from Vrindavan, fighting with the demons, day after day, dealing with the demons. Always in trouble. And from there, goes to Mathura. And then what does he do? The next thing, kills his uncle. The first thing. After killing the uncle, created more problem. The uncle's father-in-law gets upset, Jarasandha gets upset. From Makhada, he comes with a huge army to invade Mathura. Then, so many, 21 times or something, they have fought each other. And eventually, Krishna decided to leave Mathura because of this Jarasandha's problem, and Kalayamana, who came later, takes the whole population with him, moves to Dwaraka, creates another place and takes the whole thing there from here. Is there any peace of mind in Dwaraka either? Nothing. When he was in Dwaraka, he got married with 16,108 wives. In the middle, he has to fight with Daragasura and Shishubala, Dandavakra, one after the other. Whole 10th canto, if you read the second part of 10th canto, is nothing but war, constant war going on. Never one day a peace of mind for Krishna. If you imagine, with all these things, will Krishna stop? No. Then he goes to Hastinapur, gets all the problems of Pandavas and puts it on his own head after this. So there also he won't give it up. Goes there to Hastinapur and then get involved with the Pandavas and their family problems. And then take all their problems on his own head and gets involved with the Mahabharata war after that. So like this, if you look at, after the Mahabharata war was over, was there any peace for Krishna? He comes back. When he comes back, what does he find? He finds the Yadavas are fighting each other. All of them, by now, have become very arrogant, and intoxication was going on, continuously drinking and fighting each other. Not only that, when they saw Krishna, they want to beat him up as well at the same time. This is how it all turned out at the end. So Krishna says to them, you know, they offended that the sages, Durvasa Muni and others, and they cursed him. Samba dressed up as a pregnant woman, you know that story. So Krishna says to them, look, you have gone and done something very seriously wrong. At least now, come with us. We will go to Prabhasam and perform some penances. And what does this Yadavas do? While going, they were loading the whole vehicle with alcohol, booze. They wanted it. This is how they are going to perform the penances. The vehicle fully packed with booze. They are going there. So, after that, what happened? When you go to Prabhasam, they performed the penances and all. As soon as the penances were over, simply took the big rods and started fighting each other. And they gave a few to Balram also. And Krishna also, they started beating up each other. So, is Krishna's life a success? If you look at from this point of view, is there any success in Krishna's life? After all, he spoke Bhagavad Gita, isn't he? If Bhagavad Gita is for material success, then first thing should have been Krishna's life should have been success. But when you look at Krishna's life, it is nothing but a disaster from beginning to end. The day he started his journey from the prison house to Gokulam, right up to the last minute when he left this world in Prabhasam, it was a continuous way of fighting and killing and fighting and killing. So where is the success? But what is the difference there? The difference is this. When all these things were happening, after the Yadavas were fought each other, he used the Yadavas to kill all the Kshatriyas, the Kshatriya kings, like the Kauravas and the others who were mischievous. And then he got the Yadavas, killed themselves. He made them to kill themselves. After all this is done, he's standing separately and laughing at the whole thing. Why? Because he knows everything is Maya. It is within this Maya all these things are happening. So one has reached that state of consciousness. For him, it is nothing but Maya. This is Maya's domain. Maya works in this world in that way. And once who has seen that, once who have realized that truth, Krishna is always above Maya, isn't it? Devi Hyesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Durateya. And because he knows it is Maya, he can stand and laugh at the whole thing. Whereas suppose we even a small thing, if it gets disturbed in life, we get so upset about it and we think that something has gone wrong, Krishna is upset with me, or I have to do this offering to Krishna to make him happy and things like that. All ideas get into our head. But the difference what you find here is that Krishna's life, if you look, it was not a material success. But what is his message? Message is this. Krishna is saying to us, you know, Siddha Prajnasyaga Bhasha, that Siddha Prajnato. Siddha Prajnato means this, that no matter what happens, not disturbed about anything. Because why? Once you know clearly inside that this is nothing but Maya's domain, Maya that is doing this work, whole work is under the direction of Maya. And if you are able to withdraw from that and keep yourself, your mind, free from that, unaffected by that, that is, Krishna calls it as Siddha Prajnato. See, the Prajnatvam will come later in the second chapter. But here what we have to know is this, that Krishna is saying here to Arjuna that at least you have come to me with the problem. You know the problem. Arjuna's problem was this, the same problem like we all have. He was thinking, this Drona, Bhishma, Karna, Duryodhana, they are all my relatives and friends. He was also thinking that killing them will be very inappropriate, because if I kill them, what will happen? As though this whole thing is so real, the whole world, and it's going to be like this forever. So, and you also start thinking that it is your responsibility to maintain this world. This is another illusion many people have. That if I don't do this, what will happen to this world? The person who has created this world, he knows very well how to run it. And what destiny is going to bring at later time, what is going to happen will always happen. This is, you can call anything you like. If they tell many people in the West, they call us, we are fatalistic. Isn't it? You are always talking about the fate and fatalistic nature. That is not the truth. The truth is there is a higher realization behind it. We know very well that this world, no matter what you do, if you try to turn upside down, it's not going to change. The world will carry on. We have, if you look back into the history, this is what you find all the time. So many big people had come to turn this upside down and control it and get it under their control and bring it in the right level, what they think is right and all that. Huh? But it never stays like that. It'll go. It has its own route already chalked out by Krishna's arrangement. So, therefore, you will notice this in Mahabharata war very much. And that's what you have to think about. You see, all this first chapter is giving us a lot of insight into the personalities involved. Bhishma and Drona, they were on Duryodhana's side, weren't they? They were both with Duryodhana. So Duryodhana had this difficulty that with Bhishma and Drona. Although he managed to get them on their side, on his side, he never really trusted them. Because you can see that during the war, before the war started, he goes to Drona and says to Drona, Pashyaitam Pandaputranam Acharya Mahadim Chamum. He says, look at this, he says to Acharya, Dronacharya, he says to him, Pashyaitam Pandaputranam Acharya Mahadim Chamum. You have Dhrupadaputrena Tava Shishyena Dhimata. That you are, look at your disciples there. He was possibly pointing out to, deliberately pointing out to Drishtadyumna. Drishtadyumna and Draupadi are brother and sister, isn't it? They came from the Drupada's fire sacrifice. They both appeared, Draupadi and Drishtadyumna. Drishtadyumna's appearance had a very specific reason behind it, as you know. The appearance was only for the sake of killing Drona. Drona was to be killed. That goes back into Mahabharata a little bit. I'll briefly go through it. Drona and Drupada were friends at the school. You know that. You have heard this in the Mahabharata. Drona and Drupada were friends at the school. So when they were friends, Drupada was a prince, and Drupada used to tell Drona, when I become the king, you should have no problems. Come and see me, and we will share our kingdom. We'll be together like friends all the time. All these promises were made by Drupada to Drona. But as soon as and Drona was in great difficulty, he's a Brahmana also, but he started realizing that this Kshatriya Drupada, I cannot trust him. As soon as he became the king, Drupada became the king, he changed his attitude. Drona went to see him. When Drona went to see him, Drupada did not want to see him. He says to him, so Drona reminded him, look, you have told me like this that you're going to give me half the kingdom when you become the king. Drupada says, I don't remember saying anything like that, he says. So Drona understood, felt offended and insulted. Not only that, Drupada didn't even offer him any proper reception when he went to see him. So Drona started getting really concerned about it. So he decided, I should teach this man a lesson. Brahmana's brain works, isn't it? So he went back and he found and took shelter of this Yudhishthira and started teaching them, the children, Pandavas and the Kauravas, archery. Well, teaching them, he found out, This man called Arjuna, he is a clever person. If I train him up nicely, one day I can use him to get this Drupada here. and tie him down and bring him here and make him insult him like the way he did to me. Thinking that he trained up Arjuna very well and taught him everything what is to be known, because he knew the science of archery very well. And the same thing happened in the, you know that story, when Arjuna went and had a fought the war with Drupada, and Drupada was brought down, insulted, and Drupada had to accept that defeat. And Drupada accepted the authority of Drona. When Drupada went back, he decided in his mind that one day I will get this Drona. So he started this famous sacrifice, and from that sacrifice came Drishtadyumna and Draupadi. So Drishtadyumna was born for this purpose, to kill Drona. And Drona knew this. Drona knew this. In spite of that, when Drishtadyumna went to Drona as a student, Drona taught him everything like he did with Arjuna. It's a pretty interesting thing, isn't it? You know somebody is going to kill you, and would you teach him all the techniques of war when he himself is going to kill you one day? Why did he do that? That is an interesting question in the Mahabharata. Mahabharata, this question comes all the time. Only if you study Bhagavad Gita, you will understand the answer for that. Number one. Number two, if you look at Bhishma, right? Bhishma, like Drona, was a well-known, powerful personality. Bhishma also knew very well that Shikhandi was born to kill him. Isn't it? Shikhandi. And he took this vow, I will not fight with someone like that. Shikhandi was a, how do they call it, eunuch. Neither man nor woman like situation. So he says, and I will not fight with him. And he knew very well Shikhandi was born to kill him. But in spite of that, he agreed on this issue. Why did they do that? Both Bhishma and Drona, they were jnanis. If you know that the truth inside has no death, death is for the body, death is not for the soul. If you are a jnani and you are fixed on that platform properly, there is no such thing called a death for the soul at any time. They were both jnanis. Drona as well as Bhishma were jnanis. In their dealings in this world, in Vyavaharam, you may have to accept many positions. But ultimately, there is no such thing called death for the soul. Because they knew these things, they had no difficulty in teaching them what they wanted. Because somebody comes to you to know something, it's a duty to teach that person what you know, not to keep it to yourself. That is miserliness, karpanyam. This is why Krishna says, karpanya dosha bhakta svabhava prachamitvam dharma samuda chedaha. That kripanada, miserliness is that. They were not miser. Drona or Bhishma, they were not miser. They were very hard, very broad-minded, very large heart they had. So they taught them. Why? Because there's nothing to lose at the end. Maybe in the war it may happen, but and also they knew very well that these things are already decided. That is another interesting thing. That they did not fight against, intelligent person won't fight against destiny. This you must know. Intelligence is that, not to fight against destiny. Destiny will come. It will come its own, take its toll and go. If you start fighting against that, it is foolishness, because it will come. Sometimes you can notice this in this world. People work very hard and develop, one civilization comes up somewhere in this world. We had so many civilizations in this world before, isn't it? Greek civilization, Indus Valley civilization, Chinese civilization, and there are many empires have come, many civilizations have come. They will develop, stay for some time, and they will go. Does anybody care about them anymore after that? They come and gone. That's it. So that is destiny. That is not in your control. Sometimes you can see a civilization exists somewhere, suddenly a huge earthquake happens. The whole thing gets washed out. All the banks and all the people who have deposited their money in the bank, and whole thing goes. You don't hear about them anymore. So many big earthquakes happen like that, isn't it? Like we had the earthquake in China last recently. Prior to that, there was earthquake in Iran. There was earthquake in Turkey. There was earthquake in places like somewhere in Indonesia or somewhere. All in the recent times, I'm saying. many, many earthquakes you have seen. And what happens at this earthquake? Those people who are living in that conditions, they also had big aspirations, make money, put it in the bank, high interest rate, is the share market going up? All these calculations are going in their head also. It's not only happening in London. It's happening elsewhere also. So everywhere people are involved in this business only. So, but what happens? One day, the destiny is something different. The whole civilization has to go. The bank's gone, and the people who put the money in the bank also have gone. So there's no problem. They both have gone. So this is destiny. So destiny, you don't fight against that. Destiny will come. It will take its toll. All what you can do now here is take the knowledge what Krishna has given and take advantage of it and get out of this material existence. That's all you can do. Nothing else. So Krishna is saying there that this is knowledge. This is the importance of this spiritual knowledge. To take the advantage, seeing these things happening in the world outside, and come to recognize that they are temporary and they are not in my control, and not to correct the world. That will not work. Nobody can change this world. World has its own route drawn out by the superior arrangement. Krishna is in control. So that, not to fight against that, that's what Krishna is saying. So, so therefore, he says, one who is intelligent, his nature is not to make a decision in the wrong way. That first decision has to be right in life. If your decision is wrong, based on illusion, based on Maya, then everything can go wrong. Because we have no understanding of the background of this creation, we always mistakenly think that we have the control on the situation. This we have to give it up. Like Bhishma gave it up, Drona gave it up, and many others gave it up. So when Arjuna came to Krishna with this request, Krishna's first instructions were on this point to understand first. Arjuna, if you think by your fighting the war, you are going to win the war and everything is going to be better, then you are in the same illusion like others, Duryodhana is. It's not much different. Control is in my hands, Krishna says. It is in my hands, not in your hands. There's a big difference there. So, you will see this in time and again, this message given in the Bhagavatam, in different places. When the demigods came to glorify Krishna, while Krishna was in the prison, before Kamsa came in the prison house, the demigods started glorifying Krishna. You know that famous prayers in the Garbhastuti, it is called. In that prayers, the prayers begins like this. Satyavradam satyavaram trisatyam satyasya yonim nihidanja satye satyasya satyam krita satyanetram satyalmagam tvam sharanam prapannaha. One of the beautiful verses in that prayers. Continuously satyam 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 satyasya satyam krita satyanetram satyalmagam tvam sharanam prapannaha. You don't know how much he is packed into those words. Vedavyasa Maharshi has put the absolute truth through those words to us. Satyasya satyam krita satyanetram satyalmagam tvam sharanam prapanna. Demigods are saying to Krishna, satyasya satyam. Satyasya satyam means among the so-called truth, the only truth is you. There's nothing else is the truth in this world. Krishna is when we say Krishna is the only truth, you must remember this. We are not talking only about the person. We are only understand that the spirit is the only truth, the soul is the only truth, which is Krishna. Satyasya satyam, hrida satya netram. Krishna has got two eyes. What are they? One is hritam and the other one is satyam. One is hritam, other, that is what demigods are telling him. Hrida satya netram, he has got two eyes. Hrida satya netram, satyalmagam tvam sharanam prapanna. And who is the real soul or the truth? We pay our obeisances to him, surrender unto him, he says. So, what is the difference between Hrida Satya Netram? Hridam and Satyam means? Hridam and Satyam means there is two things, Shruti and Smriti, isn't it? We have Shruti and Smriti. We discussed that before. Shruti refers to that truth which is never changes. Which never changes. The Satyam that never changes. It's our Satyam for all times to come. It has been the Satyam throughout the times before, present and in the future, always it is Satyam, it is the truth. That is Satyam. What is that Satyam? That Satyam is this, that spirit soul or the soul is the only truth. Soul is the only truth. That is the Satyam which never changes. This is the reality, this is the truth. And Shruti is that thing that presents this truth to us. This truth about the Satyam to us, presents to us, and that's the job of Shruti. Shruti means Vedas, Vedic literature. Vedic literature presents to us that Shruti, in other words, presents to us that truth which never changes. You cannot change this truth. This is the eternal truth. Eternal means forever. It is the truth. Our truth, what we talk about in this world, our spiritually advanced people don't consider it as truth. You know, like when the scientists make some discoveries and they say, we have found out the truth now. And they are also searching for the truth, aren't they? Because all scientific discoveries are for searching for the truth. That's what they are looking for. They want to find out where this whole creation has come about, how this is managed, who is behind it, where is going to end up at the end. The same questions, there's not much difference. What they are searching after is not much different than what the sages were looking for. The only thing is, sages found an answer from a different level, and they have found out the answer. But the scientists are unable to come to that conclusion, so they keep on searching. So, our scientists, what they've done is, they are searching for the truth, but they never seem to get there. Now and then they get a glimpse of something here and there, related to matter. But sages are saying, any truth that you are bringing to us from your material understanding is not a truth at all. The only truth is the soul, nothing else. Matter is not a truth at all. But all these discoveries and inventions, what the scientists have created, based on their understanding of matter, is not a truth. Because sometimes, you see, they invent something or they find out something and later on they change it again. They cannot hold on to it because it's not the truth. In this world which is constantly changing, what is the truth here? What do you call it as truth? Everything is subject to change, isn't it? Subject to change. So, from that position, Krishna is saying this, that satyasya satyam, sorry, the demigods are saying, satyasya satyam hrida satya neyantram. Now, that satyam, which is unchanging, which never can change, is always there, is what is known as satyam, truth. And that is what Shruti talks about. Vedas, Upanishads, they talk about that truth, which never changes. So, the sages have put a lot of their energy into it, in analyzing these things. So, they are saying that this Satyam, what is discussed in Upanishads, it is the permanent thing. That never changes. You can't change it even if you want. And it is based on that understanding, Krishna says in the second chapter, Nasade Vidyade Bhavo, Na Bhavo Vidyade Sada. Ubhayoravi Drishtvandam Tanayor Tattvadarshibhi. Tattvadarshibhi, people who have seen the truth, they have concluded that this thing will never change. It cannot change. Then the other one, Hridam. Hridasatya Netram. Hridam means that, as I mentioned before, Smriti. Smriti is nothing but that this is not the truth in the Shruti. Shruti's truth is different. To get to that truth, we have to live in a particular way in this world. And that is what Smriti is telling us. Smriti is telling us how you should conduct in this world so that by living in that particular way, how your you will get closer to that truth which is unchanging. In the normal circumstances in our life, you can see yourself that we are very much conditioned by the laws of this world, isn't it? People tell us. But there are certain things every religion will talk about. For example, you should not... those who are on a religious platform or who accept some authority of scriptures, whether it's Bible, Quran or Bhagavad Gita, whatever, there are certain things one should not do. We know that not to tell lies. We are told not to tell lies. The scriptures tells us not to give pain to other living entities and be friendly with all other living beings. Not to develop hate towards others and Maitri Bhavam, friendship to others. All these are certain general things everyone has to follow to according to their religious instructions they are meant to follow. They all form part of Shruti. Part of Smriti. Smriti is this thing. For the Vedic followers of Vedic culture, Smriti was prepared by the sages themselves, who, like I was talking about Yajnavalkya Smriti. Yajnavalkya Smriti is there. Then Vedavyasa Maharshi's father Parashara, he has prepared a Smriti called Parashara Smriti. Then Swayambhu Manu, he prepared a Smriti, Manu Smriti. And Vasishtha Maharshi has prepared a Smriti for us. So all the great sages, they have prepared a Smriti for us, so that if you live in this under these restrictions, you may not achieve the truth, you may not realize the truth in this condition, but what you can do is, you will develop that purity inside, Chitta Shuddhi. Purity will develop, by which you can develop bhakti. Bhakti will develop in the heart. And once you develop bhakti in the heart, you will become qualified to realize the absolute truth, the knowledge, the proper knowledge you will realize inside. That is because this purity is not inside. That is the reason why when Krishna is telling you so many things, nothing is going in. It comes and goes like a movie in front of us. But it's not having any impact on us. Why? Because the Chitta Shuddhi is not there. The Shuddhi, purity is not inside. Therefore, it does not manifest in us. Ekadashi Skandam, if you remember, Krishna mentioned this to Uddhava also. Yadidam manasovaja chakshubhyam shravanadibi. Isn't it? Everything what you are seeing with your eyes, what you are hearing with your ears, chakshubhyam shravanadibi. Vidhi maya manomayam. It is all nothing but a product of maya and the mind. Mind is a material thing. Maya is also like that. He says chakshubhyam shravanadibi. Forget the word. He says, Vidhi Maya Manoim. No, Uddhava, it is nothing but a product of Maya and the mind. Maya and the mind. Mind, in relationship with Maya, makes you think that all this is very, very real. And then you start affected by that. Nashwaram Grihyamanamcha, he says. Nashwaram. Nashwaram means it's very, very temporary. He says to Uddhava, Yadido manasovaja chakshubhyam sharvanadibi nashwaram grihyamananja vidhi maya manomayam. Vidhi, know this very well, that it is a product of mind and it's a product of maya. Maya is pushing all these things in front of us and mind is accepting and rejecting from this so many things as truth and so many things as false. I like this because I enjoy it. I hate that because it doesn't give me any pleasure. This is all the movement of the mind inside. Mind is moving like this. What can you do? And in that situation, you can never be happy. So long as the mind is involved in this business of acceptance and rejection, sangalpam and vigalpam, you will never become happy. So when you come out of this state, Krishna calls this as siddha prajnatum. Siddha prajna sega bhasha. Arjuna asked that question, Siddha Prajnatum. What is Siddha Prajnatum? So that's what we're talking about. So, Smriti will teach us what is known as Prapancha Niyati. Prapancha Niyati means, Smriti will tell you that if you live in this way, you will develop some purity inside, and that purity will help you to develop Krishna consciousness. Bhakti will develop, Bhakti will purify this, and Bhakti will make you qualified for receiving this transcendental knowledge. And to realize that knowledge, we become qualified by doing that. So that is the thing what Krishna was mentioning there. So now, after saying this, we have seen that Krishna's understanding with the Bhagavad Gita, when you talk about, you also have to look at Bhagavadam. So I mentioned before that when they have realized the truth, for example, Uddhava was very closely scrutinizing and studying Krishna's activities. Krishna's activities, they were very closely scrutinizing and studying that. People always ask this question, how come? Because we are all told Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, isn't it? That's how we have accepted that. Then we start thinking, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was on this planet. when for 5,000 years ago, for 125 years. And this 125 years, so many people met Krishna, didn't they? Many people met Krishna. But not everyone accepted Krishna as a supreme truth or anything. Many thought Krishna is just an ordinary person. You will see this in Mahabharatam. And otherwise, how come all the Kauravas, they went against Krishna? And then eventually Yadavas also turned against him. His own people, family members, they turned against him. So you can see from there that Krishna's just by physical presence alone, everybody don't accept him as the absolute truth or anything. That is the way Yogamaya works. When Krishna comes here, not everybody accepted him as the final truth, absolute truth. Some personalities who had devotees, they seen in him as the superior power behind everything, and they glorified him in that way. But majority of the people did not see him as the absolute truth. And so if they could not do it, is there any wonder we are not able to do it? Think about that. That when Krishna was present here and they had close association with him, they could not accept Krishna as the absolute truth. If it is like that, we, after 5,000 years, were come to this world, we sitting here and reading from Srimad Bhagavatam about Krishna, and we are hearing from so many other people about Krishna, and is there any wonder that we are finding it difficult to accept Krishna as the absolute truth? We will say to others, yes, Krishna is the absolute truth. But how much are we convinced ourselves that Krishna is the absolute truth? How much are we? Why? Because our absorption in the body is very strong. We have seen Krishna only through the body, through our body. We are seeing Krishna is somebody like us, another person, maybe he is a little bit more powerful. He killed a lot of people, and then he is saying that he has gone back to Golokam. Maybe who knows where this Golokam is and what's going on there. We try to collect information, all these things, isn't it? We want to get information about Golokam so that to verify. As though you can verify. If somebody gives you all data on Golokam, can you verify? There's no way. So what I'm saying is that in this way we have made ourselves thinking that Krishna has come and gone. Now we are discussing about Krishna, but our understanding of Krishna is on a different level. It's on a different level. Purely thinking that we want to become devotees of Krishna. We want to understand the truth. But if you don't understand what the truth is, that's what Srimad Bhagavatam is telling us. And the best example of that is when Krishna was going to leave this world. Uddhava mentions this. He says there that Krishna has done one thing, he says. He came here and he did what he wants to do, and eventually when he found that his own people were trouble, the Yadavas were trouble, he says, just like when you have a thorn in your feet, when you walk through the in a rough area or in a forest or something, if a thorn goes inside, normally the practice is you'll find another thorn, and with that thorn you pull this thorn out. I don't know, some of you may not know these things because you have not lived in the countryside in India. If you live there, you will know these things. Or if you have grown up in the city, it is very difficult to understand what kind of example is this, you may think. But the thing is this, that to remove one thorn, you take another thorn. And using that thorn, you take this thorn out and throw away both the thorn. Yeah? In the Shastram, this is a very famous example, this doing this. So, kandagam kandageneva. Removing one thorn with another thorn. That's what Krishna has done. Krishna has killed the Kshatriyas with the Yadavas and then eventually destroyed Yadavas also. As far as Krishna is concerned, they are all nonsense anyway. So he got to that conclusion and he had no problem in doing any of these things. And when they are all gone, he stands there and laughs at the whole thing. Because he has come for a purpose, he has done his business and he is on his way home. So he can laugh at all of us and then he goes back to the spiritual world. So while studying Krishna's activities in this world, we have to bear in mind certain things like this. That Krishna is not taking the side of this person or that person. He came here, he had a mission, he has done that, he has gone back. But in that short period of time, 125 years, some people took advantage of that, understood who is Krishna. And from the knowledge what Krishna has given to us, They took advantage of that knowledge and they realized the truth, they also went back. We also have to do exactly the same thing. That whatever knowledge Krishna has left for us, we should take advantage of that. Because if we don't, and instead if we keep thinking about all the other things of this world, thinking that Krishna is going to come one day and sort out all the problems of this world, that is Krishna's problem, not our problem. We don't have to make it our problem. So, this is what is mentioned here, that kandagam kandigene eva, that with one thorn he threw away the next thorn also. So, now, that as far as the life in this world, that is in the control of material nature. That is in the hands of material nature. It's not in your hands. You can't do anything about it. And your material body is in the hands of material nature, Prakriti. Prakriti controls your body and Prakriti controls the law of this world also. One should not get too much enamored by the activities of this world, what goes on in this world. It will not be possible for us to do anything about it. That is the main thing Krishna is saying here. That complete happiness or perfection is only in the soul. If this is head clear in our head, then we can take further spiritual life. Perfection is only in spiritual life. Perfection is not possible with the material body. Perfection is not possible in the material world. Perfection is only possible in spiritual life and in the soul, spiritually situated. So that is the point, first thing Krishna is making to Arjuna, that this understanding has to be there. That why are we? Because in the Arjuna's problem started with the war, isn't it? When he had to talk about it, he started issuing. So he started raising so many issues. But instead of immediately reacting to that, Krishna says to Arjuna that understand this, Arjuna, that don't try to change this world. If you are thinking that by your fighting the war, the world is going to change, don't be under that illusion. That's not your problem. Secondly, he says to Arjuna that because you are lacking that realization of the soul, spiritual identity, you are taking this material body as permanent and suffering from that, paying for it. So, immediately, that should shift our attention, to focus our attention from matter to spirit, to the soul, is what Krishna does. First thing, that's what he does. So in the first chapter, what he mentioned was that all these people who have come here to fight this war and who are standing there in the battlefield, Krishna is saying there that Mamaka, what he says is Dhritarashtra Vacha, isn't it? Normally, you would have thought Bhagavad Gita is such a great literature. And this literature begins with a blind person, Dhritarashtra. Imagine that. Normally, if you are writing a fantastic literature like this, Bhagavad Gita, you would expect that at least it will start with something auspicious thing. But the beginning itself is so inauspicious to bring Dhritarashtra Vacha. Dhritarashtra, this blind person, who is blind inside, outside, he is the introduction, is with him. And secondly, that the he says here, Dharma Kshetre Kuru Kshetre Mama Veda Yultsava Mamaga Panda Shaiva Kimakurvada Sanchaya. Then he says, Drishtvadu Pandava Nigam. Drishtvadu Pandava Nigam. The second thing, what he talks about here, is that Vyudham Duryodhanastrada Acharya Upasangamya Rajavajanam Abravid. If you look at the second verse in the first chapter, he says here that Sanjaya Uvacha Drishtvadu Pandava Nikam Vyudham Duryodhanastada Acharyam Upasangamya Raja Vachanam Abravid. Sanjaya is saying to Dhritarashtra, O king, after looking over the army gathered by the sons of Pandu, King Duryodhana went to his teacher and began to speak the following words. I will not go through all the verses in the first chapter. Certain important things, what I have to mention in preparation for the second chapter, I will go through those verses only, not all the verses. So, Sanjaya says this to Dhritarashtra, and he says there, when he said this to him, he says there, പശ്യേതാം പാണ്ഡുപുത്രാണാം ആചാര്യ മഹതീം ചമൂം വ്യൂഢാം ദ്രുപദപുത്രേണ തവ ശിഷ്യേണ ധീമതാം. ഓ മൈ ടീച്ചർ, ദിസ് ഇസ് ദ വേഴ്സ് 3. ഓ മൈ ടീച്ചർ, ബിഹോൾഡ് ദ ഗ്രേറ്റ് ആർമി ഓഫ് ദ സൺസ് ഓഫ് പാണ്ഡു, സോ എക്സ്പെർട്ട്ലി അറേഞ്ച്ഡ് ബൈ യുവർ ഇന്റലിജന്റ് ഡിസൈപ്പിൾ, ദ സൺ ഓഫ് ദ്രുപദ. ഹു ഈസ് സെയിങ് ദിസ്? ദുര്യോധന ഈസ് സെയിങ് ദിസ് ടു ഹും? ടു ദ്രോണ. And you know, did you see the words he has used? Your intelligent disciple and the son of Drupada. In other words, Duryodhana's mentality, look at that. Duryodhana wants to fire up Drona. So in order to fire him up, what do he have to say? First, to create that hate inside in him. So in order to do that, he says, look at him. Vidam Drupadaputrena, Drupadaputrena, Drishtadyumna. And who is your disciple, he says, whom you have taught all the things, as though Drona doesn't know about it. Drona knew very well when he taught Drishtadyumna he is going to kill him. Duryodhana knows, Drona knows. And still, at this point in juncture, at this juncture, when the war is going to begin, he is saying to Drona, see that the person whom you taught all those things, you remember, Drishtadyumna? He is leading that army, the other side. And that words were only used to create that hate inside Drona, to make him feel that hate strongly. That's what you do, isn't it, when you want to when you want to create the hate. Vyudham Drupada Putrena, he says, Drupada's son, because he hates Drupada very well. Knowing very well, he says to him, Vyudham Drupada Putrena, look at Drupada's son, Tavashishya, and your disciple. So already with these two words, he has poisoned Drona as much as he wanted. That's why he spoke like that. Just to poison his mind as much as possible and to create that hate inside. That is the purpose of those two words. As I mentioned before, he couldn't do this to Bhishma because Bhishma will really give him back. But Drona he can do. Why? He's on the salary. If you're on a salary, you have to listen to everything what you're told. There's nothing you can do. Whether it's spiritual life or material life, it doesn't matter. That's an unfortunate situation in this world. And this is why Shastra is saying, if you want to practice life, don't take salary. Spiritual life. If you want to practice spiritual life, don't take salary. Because if you take salary, your independence is gone from inside. You cannot anymore think independently. You are completely under the control of the Master. Master, whether he is right or wrong, you have to support. You have no choice. You are completely under his control. Therefore, salary is not an option in spiritual life. Salary is not an option in spiritual life under any circumstances. And we are in so much illusion that because we don't understand the principles of spiritual life, because we are more like Dhritarashtra, we want to patch up everything and keep life going somehow in this world. It has been a very hard job for many of us to convince people that paying salary to people is a wrong thing. It never gets into their head. Just like Dhritarashtra's head it is. It never gets in, no matter what you tell them. They are still, how will they maintain their family if they don't get a salary? They come back with this question. Then you go and work. Then this spiritual life is not for you then. If you have not come to understand, spiritual life is not for salary and maintaining the family. If that understanding is not there, then why on earth are you wasting your time? You are neither having a material life properly, nor a spiritual life either. So this is where the problems are coming in spiritual life. That people start taking things that and twist everything to suit their material conditions, and then they are saying they are in spiritual life as well, and fool everybody else. And that is worse than anything else. It is much better, Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita in the 4th chapter, you take the broom, go and sweep the street in the morning and get your money from the council and live on that, rather than doing this. Vyudham Drupadaputrena Tava Shishyena Dhimadam. Then Atrashura Maheshwasa Vimarjana Samayuthi Yuvithano Viradascha Drupadascha Maharatham. And so here you can see there that that hate towards Drupada was coming out in this way. And Drona, because he accepted, he was a Brahmana, he pays for it later. Drona says this, that I did not live like a Brahmana. That's a mistake I've made. Brahmana means what? You cannot buy him. You can't buy a Brahmana. That is his independence. Prabhupada gave an example like this. when the British ruled India in the early, it was probably in the 1940s or something, probably the same, just before independence, there was one poor Brahmana who lived in the Krishnanagar district, where the Mayapur is all part of Krishnanagar district, isn't it? So while living there, this Brahmana was so honest and truthful, but very simple in life. So generally all the villagers will come to him for advice. This has always been in the history, it's been like that. The Brahminical culture was so respected that when people from the other community, say, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, all of them, when they have some difficulty in life, they'll go to the Brahmanas for advice. Why? Brahmanas are not self-centered. They are giving nature, they have. And plus, they are not expecting anything from you. They have that freedom, complete independence, to say what they want to say. So they can look at things in the proper way and speak properly. So this Brahmana who used to live in this Krishnanagar district, this is Prabhupada's one of the stories he's mentioned, that he says that the villagers used to come to him and he was very well respected by the villagers. So the smart British government at that time, what they did, they thought, if we can get him on our side and make him as the judge, then there will be peace within the society. The government didn't want any trouble. They want everybody peacefully living in their place so they can do what they want to do. So they come with their agenda. So they thought, if we can get him on our side, that's how everybody thinks, isn't it? People think that in order for me to execute my crooked activities, if I can get it stamped by some saintly person, then I also become saintly in the eyes of the public. That's what the normal thing is. So this is what they did. That they tried to get him on the side, on their side. So they went up to him and told him that we have a system like this, a judge, a high court, a magistrate court, district court and all that. This is a system we have in England and we like to have the same thing established in this country as well. We are thinking that we will appoint you as a district judge or a magistrate or something like that, they offered him. He said, well, I'm not looking for that, he said. That was the first answer from him. He says, I'm not looking for that. And he was in dire poverty. There's no money. Yes, living on a very, very, very meager subsistence. Huh? So when they said to him like this, he said, well, I can do anything, but once I start taking salary from you, what does that mean? He said to them. What does that mean? It means I have to do what you tell me to do, isn't it? Then there is no independence for me. And when I have no independence, I can't give a proper judgment on anything. What's right and what's wrong. Can you? Because you're biased already. You're purchased. Once you're purchased, you have no freedom to do anything but you. What you're honestly inside, Krishna tells you that this is the right thing. You can't make the right decision. You are biased. You are influenced by that. So they said like that to the... And he never took up that position, Prabhupada says. He never accepted that position. Because he understood that I don't want to surrender my freedom. Because if I have to be honest, because after all in this life, you may or may not have all the material opulences. So what? At least you live an honest and truthful life, because Brahmanas knows if you live like that, Chitta Shuddhi will happen. The purity will happen. Whereas if you get driven by all the other forces in this world, the purity will never happen. On the other hand, it will become more and more contaminated with the impurities of the others. So, Drona, and we talked about Drona and Bhishma also. The main thing to realize this is that when once a great sage, he left home, he went away from home inquiring about spiritual life, and he was very serious about it, and eventually he performed many years penances and he became very realized the truth at the end. So by now the family behind at home, they were very upset after he left home. So, for a long time they searched, where has he gone? This happened some years ago. Unlike today, those days transport was a problem, because only now we have plenty of transport facilities. But then these days it was impossible. So, the mother of this young boy, who went searching for him in so many places, eventually came to know where her son is living in executing his spiritual life. So the mother comes to the son and says, we managed to find out where he is and came there to telling him, and mother's affection to the son is very strong, isn't it? And if a mother says to the child something or to the son, very difficult for a son to refuse it. It's very difficult, isn't it? After all, you see that obligation or that commitment to the mother is something very difficult to repay. You feel such a great debt for a man, I'm saying, such a big debt to pay back. So she came and told this boy, he was probably 17, 18 years old, and told him to come home. Told him to come home. So son won't relent. He won't agree. He won't come. And and mother was making it more sentimental, saying that look, your father is suffering, your brothers are suffering, the sons, the daughter, the sisters are suffering. This family member was asking about you, and I don't know what to tell them. You know the usual way how family draws you back into your thing. So he says here. So he told her, because he had the knowledge in him by now, his answers to them is like this. He says to them, every jiva in this world, they get according to their prarabdham. According to their prarabdham, Krishna, who is situated within their heart, controls their life in such a way that they have to go through their prarabdham in this world. He says to her, according to one's prarabdha karmam, Krishna, who is situated in everyone's heart as the super soul, controls his life in such a way that he has to go through his prarabdham. Neither you nor me can change it. This is his words to her. Neither you nor me can change this. Whatever has to happen in this world will happen and has to happen. And nobody can change destiny. Nobody can change that destiny. What has been decided, that will happen. And what is not decided, meant to happen, will not happen no matter what you do. These are certain truths in this world. Somehow or the other, our ego won't allow to accept all these things. That's the problem. Problem is our ego. We think that we can change everything. So when we do not, if you get to peace with these terms in life, then this anxiety will go about life. If you come to terms with these things, the anxiety is coming because these fundamental truths of life we have not accepted. If you have accepted that, then you won't have this anxiety all the time. What will happen here? What if I don't do this? What will happen then if I don't do that? This is constantly coming and killing us. This anxiety, material anxiety. Why? These fundamental truths of life is not understood properly. Generally, in the Vedic traditions, millions of people in the villages lived under this understanding. The Western world will call us backward and all that. That's another thing. That they can call what they say. But the truths don't change because of that. And we have not seen anywhere else in the world truth anywhere different. Things what has to happen will happen. And things what has to... if you want to change in the truth, it's not going to change. It's not under your control. This person or the Supreme Lord who is behind the creation, he knows each and every jiva in this creation. He knows. That's why he's sitting with us inside. And he is doing, according to your prarabdham, you have to experience certain happiness and distress in this world. Accordingly, he controls your prarabdha karma. He controls it in that way, what is necessary. Nobody can turn it upside down. It is not possible. It's better to accept this truth rather than think that I have certain control over all these situations. It will not happen. And therefore, we saw yesterday also, I was mentioning this, that there's not a lot you can do in this world with this body. Body also is not in your control. Sometimes we think about our relatives, isn't it? Say in a family, husband, wife and children. The father and mother is thinking, oh my children, they are not listening to me. They are not doing things the way we want them to do. Every father, mother wants the children to do what they think is the right thing. But if they think, understand this much, our own body is not doing what we want the body to do. Isn't it? Think about ourselves. You think about yourself. Sometimes we want to do something, we are not able to do it. Isn't it? If I can't make myself to do what I want to do, how on earth I can expect my children to do what I want them to do? That jiva has its karma and it has to go through its life in this world. I am trying to change it to satisfy my ego inside, thinking that, oh, this is my, I call it as duty, actually it is my ego. I am thinking inside that it's my son and my daughter, so I have to do this for them, and they should live in this world according to my terms and conditions, what I'm imposing upon them. But they are not seeing it like that. They are seeing this man is coming and disturbing my life day and night. And he is thinking that, why can't he shut up and keep away from me? This is the truth. I mean, there's no point in trying to think anything different. And then you start thinking, oh, my family is all breaking up, everybody is going in different directions, nobody is listening to me. And in this desperate situation, one day you leave the body and you're gone. All the drama is finished with that. So Krishna is saying here that rather than accepting the truth, better to accept the truth that a jiva, every jiva is independent. When they come here, it has its karma, it has its destiny, it has its prarabdham already settled up. It will follow in that road. All one freedom only you have. What is that freedom? This knowledge what Krishna has given in the Bhagavad Gita, if you take it, you can once for all escape from all these things. Once for all. No more repeated birth and death, and no more going through this misery. But if you think while living here in this world, we can do something to change the world, set up the family life comfortable, make the family happy and all that, forget about it. It is not going to happen. If you plug one hole, then another plug will start coming out, leaking. So that is the way the family life is. Prabhupada used to say, managing a family is more than managing an empire. Because in empire, you are not so attached to everybody. In family life, the attachment is there. That's what causes all the problems. Isn't it? The attachment to other family members, that brings all the problems. And then you start thinking that that it is so your, because you failed in doing your things properly, that's why this has happened and all that kind of things. So, so as much as we don't have a freedom in our body, as I mentioned before, this body when it took birth, I had no freedom. I had no freedom to choose my parents, who they were. I had no freedom to whether to have a male body or a female body. I had no freedom what all kinds of problems I experienced during my childhood. I grew up. I had no freedom on the growth also. When I grew up and what all I had to go through, I had no freedom on that. I became a young man. Then what all happened, I had no freedom over that either. So bodies keep on growing. Just like a tree if you plant, it keeps growing, isn't it? It keeps growing and suddenly, finally it becomes a tree, huge tree. So where is the freedom the tree has? What freedom has it got? Exactly the same thing. The body has also grown like this and it has grown up and one day it is going to finish and go. I have no freedom on any of these things. If it is like that, what is the point in trying to control everybody's life and trying to make sure that we are going to change their life and bring them and you will keep on trying this. You can try, but no harm. You can keep trying, but in the end, you will become frustrated over it. You will see that it didn't work that way. It's not, that's the way it is. So, what we were talking about is that, Krishna is saying here, that in the Bhagavad Gita, if we look into the verse 10 now, first chapter, verse 10. Krishna says, Aparyaptam tadasmagam velam vishma abhirakshidam. As I said, I won't go through all the verses because a lot of it is not that important. He's talking about the persons who are on the sides of on Arjuna's side and Duryodhana's side. Aparyaptam tadasmagam velam bhishmabhi rakshidam paryaptam tadamegresham velam bhimabhi rakshidam. This is an interesting verse. Do you know why? Because look at that verse carefully. Aparyaptam tadasmagam belam bhishma abhirakshidam. Read the translation. Our strength is immeasurable and we are perfectly protected by Grand Bahadur Bhishma. Whereas the strength of the Pandavas, carefully protected by Bhima, is limited. Is limited. He says here, Bhishma abhirakshidam. Bhishma is protecting our army, isn't it? Whose army? Duryodhana's army. So they have a system like this in these type of battles, that there will be somebody who protects the army. He's not necessarily the commander-in-chief. He's the one who has to protect the army. So Bhishma is the protector of the army for the Kauravas. And Bhima is the protector for the army of the Pandavas. They are the protector. Now, Drishtadyumna is the commander-in-chief for the Pandavas. Drona is the commander-in-chief for the Kauravas. So it's a kind of a dual management there. You know, when there is a parallel management roles going there. The Bhishma and Drona together, they are running the show. Bhishma is the protector and Drona is the chief of staff, you can say, chief of staff. Similarly, Bhima is the protector and Drishtadyumna is the chief of staff there. So here, after seeing this army, he says, Aparyaptam tadasmagam balam Bhishma abhirakshidam. This is Duryodhana. Duryodhana's mentality. We've seen this. He has got a lot more than what Pandavas have got in number. He has got how many? 11 Akshohinis he has. 11 Akshohini. And Pandavas had 7 Akshohini, isn't it? 7 Akshohini. So totally 18 Akshohinis. Akshohini details, I think somewhere it's given later. You can look at that. How many chariots, how many infantry, how many artillery, how many of these things. Same thing like in the modern army, it's a little different, that's all. But important thing to know here is, this Duryodhana's mentality. In this world also, have you noticed, some people are very rich, a lot of money they have. Still, they will look at somebody who is less than them, and still they will say, oh, he has got so much. He may be a billionaire, and he will look at a millionaire and say, he's always keeping an eye on him. Is he going to become a billionaire like me tomorrow? And that is the mentality Duryodhana here. You can see that in Duryodhana's eyes. Pandavas haven't got as much as he has got, but still he is saying, look at them. They are protected very well. They look. And Duryodhana, why is this feeling came to him? Because of only one reason. That Purna Vastu, complete thing, is sitting on the other side. That's the problem. Duryodhana has not recognized that exactly. What is causing this uneasiness inside? In spite of the fact that, suppose you have almost double the strength you have in the army, so you should win the battle by all means. You've got best soldiers also. And still there is a fear inside. Look at that fear. And this is the fear of material existence. We may have so much in life, still fearing all the time. How will I manage? How will I live? What will happen tomorrow? What will happen to me tomorrow? Whose control is all these things? Who is guaranteeing us? Give us the food tomorrow. Krishna is giving us the food. So if Krishna wants us, we'll get it. But if Krishna doesn't want us to get it, we won't get it. No matter how much we put our efforts in that direction. So that is that verse talking about. Aparyaptam tadasmagam balam bhishma abhirakshidam. Paryaptam tomedesham balam bhima abhirakshidam. This aparyaptam, paryaptam, the two words there, what he has used, it's mentioned as immeasurable, and the other word he has used, paryaptam, is limited. Paryaptam is limited, and aparyaptam is unlimited, in other words. So he knows that the Bhima's army, or Pandava's army, is limited and his own army is unlimited. So in spite of that, an uneasiness inside. Yeah? In spite of this situation, when he knows that it is limited and his is unlimited, he should be happy that I have a bigger army, why should I worry about it? But no, still an uneasiness inside. That's what he is saying to Drona. Paryaptam tumidam etesham balam bhima abhirakshidam. Then he says there that tadasmagam rakshinam. All the personalities in this Mahabharata, they have some significance. So what has happened is that our Duryodhana started feeling that other side is complete, my side is not complete. Something in his mind is telling him that my side is not complete, the other side is complete. And the reason I mentioned, because of the presence of this complete thing on the other side. That's what was causing that problem. And then he was reflecting on that when Arjuna and Duryodhana went to see Krishna. You remember that in the Mahabharatam, that story. Everybody knows that. Arjuna sat at the feet, Duryodhana sat near the head. And when Krishna was acted as though he is sleeping, and when he woke up, he saw Arjuna. And then he saw Duryodhana sitting there. So he asked both of them, "What do you want from me?" And Duryodhana said, "I have these three things to offer. One, I can offer you my army, Narayana Sena. Or I can offer myself. Which one do you want?" Duryodhana opted for the army, Krishna's army. Isn't it? So the army, Krishna's army is fighting with Duryodhana against the Pandavas. That's one thing you have to remember. Have you seen a war like this in the world anywhere? Where the one side is sending half its army to the other side to fight against themselves. So when you see these things, you can understand Bhagavad Gita is not a historical, is not, importance is not for the history. Importance is some higher message coming through all these things. When Vedavyasa is presenting this to us, he had something else in his mind to tell us. That is why it is spoken like this, that the whole army is with Duryodhana. Duryodhana took Krishna's army, isn't it? And also among the two army commanders Krishna had, one was Kridavarma and the other one was Satyaki. Kridavarma went with Duryodhana and Satyaki, he said, "I don't want, you can have it," to Arjuna. So Arjuna got Krishna, Arjuna got Satyaki. Duryodhana got Kridavarma and Duryodhana got Krishna's army in the battlefield, in the battle, isn't it? So, what does Kridavarma means? You see, the words also has a lot of significance. Kridavarma also is a word. You may think this, all these words in the Mahabharatam, some strange words they are. They are not normal names like what we would normally come across, isn't it? Some words are very, very strange. And when you start analyzing the words, you will notice, in Puranams also it is like that, that the word signifies something behind it. That's why those words are used. Kridavarma means that Kridavarma means karmam that you have already executed. In other words, karma kridam. Kridam means done, already done. The results of that karmam. So Kridavarma's role is that prarabdha karmam which will come and stand in front of you, not allowing you to get rid of your false ego. That is Kridavarma. That Kridavarma, the name means like that. That we all have our false ego, isn't it? So this false ego doesn't go easily. Even if you try to take it out, it doesn't go. It's there in a very subtle level, operating inside all of us. And prarabdha karmam, when it stands in front of you as this false ego, not allowing the false ego to get destroyed, that is Kridavarma. So Duryodhana's association with this Kridavarma, that when it stands as a big sheath in the form of an ignorance around you, not allowing you to realize the truth. Yeah, Ajnanam. Ajnanam it is, Ajnanam. What is the truth? Truth is that we are spirit soul. Yeah, that realization is not happening in us. Why? It is Kridavarma there, standing there in front of us. The word Kridavarma means prarabdha karmam, which is done, executed before, has manifested now in the form of a ajnanam, ignorance in front of us, completely covering our consciousness in the form of false ego. So that is referred to as Kridavarma. So in this battle, when you are looking at different personalities, you have to remember this battle between Kaurava and Pandava is what is going on inside us also, in every one of us. We have the demons and the demigods inside. As I said before, that what you only look at Mahabharata war, you should not think about it as something happened 5,000 years ago. It's happening today, right now. We want to come out of this fighting between demigods and the demons, what's going on inside. That means we have certain good qualities in us. We have a lot of bad qualities in us. And when these good and bad qualities are fighting each other, we get into trouble. We get confused which way to go. And that is why it is said that Mahabharata war has not finished. Mahabharata war is still going on within us, in each and every one of us. The war is going on inside. And for us, that is why all these personalities in different forms who are present here represents the different problems or different condition what we have inside. And Kṛtavarma represents that particular conditioning inside. Then Arjuna, now again, if you look at Arjuna and Duryodhana, Arjuna opted for the soul, isn't it? Arjuna opted for the soul. How do you know? Krishna is the soul. That is Arjuna's good fortune. He opted for the soul. Duryodhana opted for material opulences. What is that? The army. So there itself, you can see the difference that Arjuna's choice is for the soul and Duryodhana's choice is for the matter. Arjuna's choice is for the soul. Duryodhana's choice is for the matter. One who is infected with materialistic ideas, one who is always conscious of success in material world, and whose mind is material nature, is completely in the grip of material nature, will always think in terms of matter. For him, matter is the shelter for him. Whereas someone who had divine qualities in him, like Arjuna, he had the ability to think at that time and to see who Krishna is and had the intelligence to surrender unto him and get the higher instruction from Krishna, who is the soul. So, discrimination between soul and matter begins at an early stage in spiritual life. This is the tattvam behind all these things. It is easy to take to spiritual life through rituals. People take to spiritual life through rituals, isn't it? They come to the temple, attend Mangalarati, and do the deity worship, pay their obeisances, eat prasadam, chant the holy name. They go. Nothing else works in the head. It has never been infected inside anything. That kind of spiritual life won't help very much, because after a while you will start tired of it, you'll get bored with it. You'll start thinking, how long can I do this? When nothing is happening in the life, why? Because he has not gone through the tattvam. And this was the mistake what many people commit in spiritual life. They don't take the tattvam seriously. Tattvam means, when we talk about, Krishna is talking about tattvam. And in the Bhagavatam also, I mentioned this many times before, that when Sudha Goswami came there to speak to Shaunagrishi and others, Jivasya Tattva Jityasa, he says, if you don't accept the tattvam into your life, this all your other so-called spiritual activities will not go very far. Will not go very far. After one some time it will come to a dead stop. Or you'll get bored with it. What is it? What am I doing? I've done so many years, I've chanted. So many years I have taken prasadam. And so many years I've been attending Mangalarati. And all kinds of thoughts will come to the mind. Why? Because inside that energization hasn't happened through the proper way it should be done. So therefore, before we go to the tattvam, which is Krishna is going to talk in the next chapter, all these problems we have to recognize. That the important thing here is this imperfection, what our Duryodhana has felt. Krishna says, when he entered into the war, I won't get involved in anything, didn't he? He said like that, didn't he? He said, I will not get involved in anything. There is no need for me to... He thought that, I won't get involved in anything. And that pleased Duryodhana. Because Duryodhana is thinking, by his might and by his army, he can win the war. This is another materialistic conception. Materialists think like that. Oh, all due to my power. If I have so much money in the bank, and if I have a lot of people as followers, and if I can manipulate the people somehow, I can live in... That's why all the big dictators think like that in this world, when they do that. But it never... You have noticed all ends up in disaster at the end, whether it is Saddam Hussein or Hitler. They all did the same thing, that they try to control things, control others' life, and keep them with them, and thinking, taking shelter in the matter, in other words. instead of taking shelter in the higher power of divine power, Daiviya Sambhat it is called. If you see in the Bhagavad Gita, later on there is a chapter, divine and demoniac nature. These are all the nature of the demons. They will take shelter of matter all the time. They won't take shelter of the soul. And this is exactly what Duryodhana did. Duryodhana took shelter of the matter. Big army from Krishna's army, Drona and Bhishma with me, plenty of wealth, and I'm going to win. This is, he's so convinced about it. This is a kind of ajnanam, avidya inside in that person. That's what, but still, when he came here, when Duryodhana felt imperfection in his side, on the other side, you'll see what is happening with Arjuna. Arjuna is feeling Krishna is with me. Perfection there. The opposite mind, the divine nature and the demoniac nature you can see there. Arjuna sitting with Krishna, he is feeling, I am completely protected. No matter what Duryodhana has got, Bhishma, Drona or Karna or anybody and a huge army, no. The fear has gone. Why? I am protected by Krishna. And Krishna even said, I won't even touch any weapon. In spite of that, Duryodhana is saying, feeling imperfection, and Arjuna is feeling perfection. This is an important point in spiritual life. In spiritual life also, once you have taken it seriously, you have to always feel conscious, Krishna will protect us. I have come to Krishna, I have taken Krishna's shelter, I have accepted Krishna's instruction seriously. I am taking the Shastra, what Krishna has left behind for us. Will not Krishna protect me? This conviction, one must take it. We should not think that, oh, I have to make a good management in this world, only then I can survive in this world. So, intelligent thing is, not to go through all your management techniques and the consultant, management consultants, and then eventually losing the battle. Best thing is to take Krishna's shelter from the very beginning and keep the life simple and carry out spiritual life properly. That way you will develop some connection with Krishna. Otherwise, you will learn in a very hard way when everything will be gone from the hand. Ultimately, everything will be taken away. That is Krishna's law. Nobody can change anything about it. So you can see here, Arjuna felt perfection and Duryodhana felt imperfection on his side. People are like that, isn't it? So that, therefore, this imperfection is coming in different ways in our life also, isn't it? It comes in different ways. First, we try to acquire a lot of wealth. After acquiring wealth, we build a big house. Then after building a house, we want to make sure all family members are very happy. We want to keep all together. And your always whole mind is working all the time in terms of these things. How to keep these things going somehow in this world. So therefore, this is a big pit, this pit. If you fall into this pit, it's a bottomless pit. You don't know when it will end. It will go on and on. It will never come to an end. That's what Krishna wants to point out. But you will also notice one thing. In every time you do something, you are still feeling it's not complete. First you made a lot of money. You felt something incomplete in life. Then you went and purchased a big mansion somewhere. 20-30 million pounds you paid and bought it. Still there is something missing in life. Then you found a nice partner to... That's the best word today. So you found a nice partner to live with. And then you found that's also something is not complete in the society. Something is missing. I'm not respected or I'm not feeling honored. So then you had children. Then you found you had problems with a partner in somewhere. So somewhere you have succeeded up to one level in making money, building house and all that. On the other side, the unhappiness started coming in one way or the other, either through the wife or through the children. This all I don't have to explain. Everybody knows in the modern world. You take the newspaper every day and look at it, you will see the celebrities and their problems, and our problems don't come in the newspaper because we are small. But the big people, what they go through in their life, if you read through, he says, is there any more hell than this? What they go through in their life, what kind of life is this? And some of them have gone into such levels. And it's not only, don't misunderstand me, it's not only happening here. It's happening in America, it's happening in India, it's happening everywhere. Their whole energy in life, they have spent on this, making money and building these castles in this air. And they kept on doing it, and ultimately, unhappiness inside. Ultimately, unhappiness. Apurnada. It's called Apurnada. Apurnada, why has it happened? Because they never thought about this, what we actually need to become happy. That Purnatvam comes from the soul, from Krishna. Nowhere else. If you look into the matter to get this perfection, it will happen. That we have, in order to become peaceful in this world, we have to hold on to someone who is not doing anything. If somebody is doing a lot of things, you will also get disturbed along with that, isn't it? But somebody who is not disturbed under any time, if you take his shelter, you won't get disturbed. This is the principle behind it. That, you know, in 1000 names of Vishnu, Vishnu has 1000 names. You heard about that, isn't it? It's a famous prayer in the Mahabharata. Bhishma Pitamaha gives that prayers to Yudhishthira Maharaj to chant. It's a famous prayers of on Krishna. 1000 names of Vishnu, it is called. Shuklam Bharadaram Vishnum Shashivarnam Chaturbhujam Prasannavadanam Dhyayet Sarvavignoha Shandaye. Like that, it goes on. In those prayers, Krishna has one name given there. What is that name? It's called Mahagartham. Mahagartham. Mahagartham means, it is a hole in which if you fall, you won't come out of it. Krishna is like that. Just like materialists have a hole, what is that illusion? Maya. In which they fall in, they find it difficult to come out. Similarly, instead of falling into that hole, if you fall into this hole, which is Mahagartham, which is Krishna, you also won't be able to come out from that. Why? This Mahagartham nature is like this. As much as you are making spiritual progress, spiritual understanding comes in life, you will find that it all makes sense to you. Within yourself, you will start accepting the truth, and the truth starts coming up inside. And then, little by little, you want to withdraw from the material life. You want to withdraw from the material way of life. Not inside, but outside. Not outside, but inside. Outside, you have to do it. As you have to go through this world, you have to do what little you have to do and get out of it. But inside, that knowledge should grow. That is more important. None of this, Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita is telling us to leave home, to leave family, and to join the temple or any institution and say that, oh, because my family is sitting there, that's why I'm not able to execute spiritual life. And therefore, if I come to the temple and join the temple, all my spiritual problems are solved. No. Misunderstanding. This is not Krishna's instructions in the Bhagavad Gita. You may ask then why Prabhupada created this institution. Prabhupada created this institution so that there is an ideal class of people who can teach others properly about spiritual life. That was the purpose when he instituted International Society for Krishna Consciousness. An ideal class of people who devote all their time in spiritual life so that they can instruct others by living a life in that pattern. That was the goal. No, nothing else. He was not... So much it has changed now. I don't know what to say about it. But it is, when you think, sit down and look at it, this whole last 40 years, what has happened in this world. And you start thinking, is this what Prabhupada wanted us to do? That he had come here into this world to start, to get jobs for people and to employ everyone and provide. For at the age of 70, he took the struggle carrying this heavy Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita in the hand. He came here to do this for us. I don't think so. I think common sense tells me it's not. But important thing here is that institution is necessary for this reason. That you have a group of people who are trained well and who are very focused and who are perfect examples to others. So that when you come, you see a good example yourself and you feel inspired to follow that. That should be there. That is necessary in society. And that's why institution has been developed. But he didn't expect that the whole world will come and join the manor. Everybody will join and live there. That's not possible. You have to execute spiritual life at home. And whether you will realize the truth first or the devotee in the temple will realize the truth, that is in Krishna's hands. Not in your hands. Not in their hands either. That's what Krishna. That depends on how much Shraddha and how much surrender and how much you have accepted Krishna's word seriously in your life. It depends on that. Nothing else. How much you are reflecting on Krishna's words, how much you are accepting it within yourself, instead of looking at somewhere else, go back inwards and start thinking what Krishna has told us to do. So this Mahagartham, I was talking about this word Mahagartham, is Krishna. Once you get in and start enjoying Krishna consciousness through Krishna's instructions, a stage will come when you will never be able to get out of it. Even if you want to, you won't be able to get out of it. Why? Because it is the truth. Nobody can deny that. This you have to get convinced yourself first. Simply don't read Bhagavad Gita as a ritual. Read through Bhagavad Gita, start thinking in these directions, that Bhagavad Gita is teaching us one thing. Spirit is the reality. The soul is the reality. Matter is a dead thing. It has no reality. It's a dead thing, dead matter, jadam. The word itself is like that, jadam. The word used is jadam, dead matter. But soul is reality. So, in this little life what we have, a few years of lifespan, where we have an opportunity to cultivate this knowledge, if we don't utilize this, Krishna says, he is the most unfortunate person in this world. Our position is like that. We have this life, a life where we have a few years of reasonable health, reasonable mind, reasonable intelligence, and if we have learned how to discriminate between matter and spirit and understand jadam and chetana, the two different things, whole Bhagavad Gita is focusing on this again, again and again. The dead matter, leave it. Chetana is reality. Chetana is the final thing. That is what we are. We are not this dead matter. We are not this body. And to come slowly, step by step by step, little by little, we have to reach that platform at some point. So that is what Krishna is talking about here. That to do this, what is of blocking us? The false ego inside. The false ego inside. That as soon as somebody starts giving me trouble, I start thinking in terms of the body. Isn't it? And Alma, the soul, nobody can kill. All this discussion will come later in the second chapter. When it comes, we will see that. How beautifully Krishna presents that and make us feel how foolish we are to develop this false ego. It is a false ego. Why it is called false ego? Because it doesn't exist really. That is the problem. So something what doesn't exist, but you feel that it is there. It causes you all the trouble. You can't trace where he is. This false ego inside. You can't trace him where it is. So that is why the problem is. That is why Krishna said, if you look into the 10th chapter in the Canto 11, Bandho mukta iti vyakhya gunado mena vastuda gunasya maya mula tual name mokshona bandhanam. The first verse Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, this bondage and liberation is all because of this false ego inside. Once that is gone, there is neither liberation nor bondage. What is left behind is the spirit soul, Satta, Chitta and Anandam, eternal, blissful and full of knowledge. That is what is left out at the end. And that is what you are. This is how Krishna puts it to Uddhava. So Krishna says to Arjuna also the same thing. That Ahankaram, the false ego, is very difficult to understand. But first thing is, Krishna expects from all of us, from every one of us, Krishna expects this very strongly. What is that? Not to become like the Dhritarashtra. To accept what Krishna is saying and not reject it straight away, thinking that, oh, this is not what I think and what you think and all kinds of thinking. Thinking has no value here. We are in avidya. We are in ignorance. Ignorance can be only removed by knowledge, nothing else. And knowledge has to come from a higher source, and that source is Krishna. So when we don't accept Krishna, we are rejecting knowledge. That's what it means. So if you don't accept knowledge, then Krishna is saying here that if you look into verse 13 in the Bhagavad Gita, in the first chapter, he says there that the tada shangascha bhedyascha panamanaka gomukha sahasa vyapanyanta sa shabdas. After that, the conch shells, bugles, trumpets, drums and horns were all suddenly sounded, and the combined sounds were tumultuous. Then after that he says here, verse 14 and 15, that Panjajanya Mushikesho Devadattam Dhananjaya Poundram Dadmau Mahashankam Bhima Karma Bhragodharam. what is that sound of that conch shell? They all blew their conch shell, isn't it? Blowing the conch shell means actually it's their false ego blowing. We have come here to fight. Without knowing the truth, you are fighting. That means you are an ignorant person. Without knowing the truth, if you fight, that means you are an ignorant person. And all those who are standing there on either side of the army were ignorant people who had no spiritual realization, in other words. That's why that blowing conch shell is actually blowing your false ego up. So that is what one thing about that. And then the other thing what was mentioned about that was that, did you notice that the horses that is mentioned there, that and performer blew his terrific conch shell called Poundrum. And there is also mentioned about the drawn by white horses, it says there. Do you notice that? Verse 14. Tadashvedair hayer yukte mahadi sendanyasthidau madhava pandavascheiva divyashankhau pramandhadau. On the other side, both Krishna and Arjuna stationed on a great chariot drawn by white horses sounded their transcendental conch shells. Why is this white horses mentioned? It could be brown horses, isn't it? Or it could be black horses. Why white horses? Reason for white horses is white horses shows the purity of the person who is sitting there. That's why Krishna and Arjuna's purity is represented through that horses. That they are pure because they are situated in a spiritual consciousness. So they are pure. Whereas the others who are situated in materialistic consciousness, they are impure. So when one is impure, so this coloring is given to that white color is only to indicate to us that those persons who are in that chariot are under the influence of goodness. So, so just like we also blow our conch shells, don't we? Sometimes, when do we? In our own field, we blow the conch shell. Sometimes, it's not some cell to say, if you're an engineer. Oh, you blow your conch shell when you had something done, got done. If you are a doctor, you blow your conch shell when you had some successful activity in your medical field. Or if you are a businessman, if you have made a lot of money, you blow your conch shell. So this conch shell blowing is going on everywhere. It's not only in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Everywhere the conch shell is blown. So, text 15, Panchajanyam, we spoke about that. And after that, we have said Bhishma. Now we have to go back to Bhishma. Bhishma is standing there. No, what did Bhishma do? Bhishma was standing in that battlefield, and Bhishma talked about his realizations of this battle later in the Srimad Bhagavatam. I think we'll go back to Bhagavatam tomorrow morning. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah.